Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
But we don't show prep, so yeah.
I just barely make it in.
You know, I'm sure you can tell, but we don't show prep.
I mean, let's put the cards down on the table here.
Me hurricanes, yeah. You know the name already. It's Mercy. This is Six Rick Kane Show. Can't forget the name though. Got Jazz Blue Vision DJ break the game code. Ain't no changing up, ain't no breaking up. We're reporting live from the Hard Rock Stadium. Ball 14 for the orange and green. We see the Six Rick champs. It's more than a dream. This is life on the field. Beyond 100 yards of hurricane that's never still put a damage to your squad. The Six Rick Kane Show. The Six Rick Kane Show. The Six Rings Kane Show. You know.
What's wrong with us? Seriously.
What's wrong with us? We're Miami Hurricanes fans.
Welcome to the Six Rings Kane Show, a show dedicated to Miami Hurricane sports, featuring the legendary Larry Bluestein, Jazz Santana, Vish, and Danny Gillette. Let's go, Canes.
How's it going, everyone, on this happy Monday for us here with DJ Blue? How's it going, guys?
It's going well.
Good. I don't know if I'm legendary anymore, though.
Oh, no, you're always legendary.
Yeah, I got a lot of hate mail last week.
Well, so
you know what?
I'll just say this. People were asking, am I going to gloat? And I was like, the number of wrong predictions I've made, you don't get to gloat.
But you know what?
We won like 10, 11 games last year, and we won 7. So we all miss predictions. So not the end of the world there.
When you get hate mail, you're doing something right, and they're paying attention to your stuff.
I don't know. So. Well, yeah. But yeah, you know what? you take a look back at that game, and you know, the whole thing is I think that every Hurricane fan probably, you know, I mean, they've been promised stuff every year. Brad Kaya, new coach, Mark Richt, we're going to do all this, we're going to do all that. And, you know, I've gotten to the point where let's wait and see. Well, I saw. And, wow.
Yeah, so we've got Jazz backstage-ish. I'm seeing traffic. I don't know if I should let him in like this. I don't know what's going on. Okay, there, I'm seeing a silhouette. This is like Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm seeing a silhouette of a man.
Oh, my gosh. Got a moose. Can you do the fandango?
I mean, I'm going to let him in. We'll see what happens. I'll drop it backstage if this is not intentional, but this is what we're getting.
Sudden bolts of lightning. Very, very frightening.
There you go. Are. Galileo, buddy. Galileo.
He's somewhere.
In my mom's neighborhood. I'm trying to get out to the main street so I can have some light so you guys can see my mug.
He is more visible than Jazz's screen. Program. I'll give him that.
Jazz's screen looks like my vision after celebrating Saturday's victory. That's for sure.
Pitch black. It's tough. The struggle. I just have to drop her off from the airport. So I'm getting there. There you go. A little bit better, right? A little bit.
We can at least see that there's a human there. So that's good.
It looks like the next 48 hours, man. It's.
Oh man,
I'll make you laugh. Smile. I'll make you smile, Jazz. FSU down 14-0.
It should have been
21. You saw the intro playing. You saw that throw he missed.
That was a missed throw.
That was a touchdown.
He was wide open.
I've had this conversation before with a few people. Man, I didn't think FSU was going to be very good this year. I think that number 10 ranking was just absolutely terrible. So. We'll see what happens to them. But yeah, BC putting a hurt on them. They got a good quarterback over there. They got a good system.
Yeah, Castellanos is good. BC is not really known for their mobile quarterbacks. I think the last one they had in earnest was actually Tyler Murphy. So
wasn't Doug Flutie?
Doug Flutie back in the day, yeah.
Didn't they have Anthony Brown for a little while?
They did, but he never played. And looking back on it now, what a mistake that was, because he's a dynamic player in his own right. But, Tyler Murphy came over with Steve Adazio from Florida. And he was the last dynamic quarterback they had. Now they have Castellanos, and he's holding his own in Tallahassee right now.
Well, FSU sucks, so good for them.
I know, but Tallahassee's still a tough place to play, you know.
I said that about Gainesville. It didn't work out like that.
So I'll say this about that, Blue, because we obviously talked about this. One of the reasons I was confident is no one was giving me a football reason why UF would win the game. It was the stadium and the atmosphere, which are real things. They're not the time that doesn't matter, but when the mismatch is that bad, it doesn't matter. And I couldn't come up, I think this was borne out on the field, with a thing that UF does better than Miami.
Yeah.
And it's hard to win a game when that's the case. And then, you know, obviously we can get into the game a little bit here. I guess let's just start with, all right, I'll throw this to Blue first. Thoughts on Cam Ward?
Yeah. His type of play reminds me when I was a kid and we played street football, and he goes, "Hey, I'll hit you at the Volvo taillights." You know, he improvises a little Bernie Kosar sidearm, a little everything, and just a great athlete. He does things, he extends plays, but to me, the credit on that day went to the both lines of scrimmage. I mean, they just. And usually that's a cliche in the sport. You know, if you're strong up front, you're going to be strong. And I'll tell you what, on both sides of the ball. And I remember back 2 years ago when Alex Dono and I were doing something, and we looked at the offensive line, and they were getting pushed 5 yards back, right into the running back. Well, you can see that didn't happen this week. And obviously – there were no negatives. I mean, they let up a long run to one of the best running backs in the country. That's not going to happen. But the one thing that you got to – and Danny, this is on you, brother. They used the tight ends more in that game than they did the last.
See what happens when they listen to me?
Yeah. And I thought that was a great part.
Yeah.
How much else can you say about Barron or Alston or Simeon or even Messidor, who filled in for Bain, who went out? So,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's probably that, Blue. That's probably the biggest testament to how, as Matthew, as you know, as you could see to how dominant the lines were, that Bain got injured on the first possession, didn't even notice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was just that much domination, that much depth and strength. And
they got to use freshmen too, Vish. You know, they got to use Lyles extensively. They got to use
Elijah Lofton. That definitely surprised me, the amount Lyles played. Because he – Jazz, if you can, like, mute when you're not, we're getting all sorts of feedback.
Oh, yeah, I'm muted. My bad.
Yeah, I actually was surprised that Lyles got that much playing time early. I think as the game wore on, but he was, yeah, and he was. I don't know if you picked up on. I'm sure you guys did, but he was great in pass protection too, which is how he gets on the field as a freshman, right? He's excellent.
Yeah, and Federique got in on several plays, and Elijah Lofton, my boy, got in on a couple of plays, made that long run. There's zero complaints. Arroyo finally healthy. That kid's a first round draft pick. If he stays healthy, he's a man. Jeez.
Yeah. The other thing, and I'm gonna throw it to Jazz in a second so we can come up and talk. The other thing I will say is Cam Ward's passes are very catchable because he anticipates the throws and gets them out early. He doesn't have to throw it. You know, TBD had one speed on his passes. It was coming out hard. Sometimes that's needed, sometimes it's not. I thought, you know, Cam went through some things that, like, oh, you shouldn't be throwing behind, you know, across his body and all that. But he puts so much touch on it and just drops it in there. It just makes it easy to catch. So even when his balls weren't exactly on target, you saw receivers making great catches on him. But a lot of that's because he throws a very catchable pass. The other thing that I would say, in addition to just the lines, the whole team was physically dominant. The receivers were pancaking, corners, like everything. That touchdown run that Fletcher had from about the 10 – that was Sam Brown sealing the edge and knocking them back to open that gap up. It was just went in there, bullied them, and that was kind of that.
And I will say this about Cam Ward. He's one of those quarterbacks where it's almost like the tougher the throw he has to make, the better he is. He's almost a better improviser on those tough throws than he is on the simpler reads, and that obviously creates for more opportunities for the wide receivers. But also, you know, I think Ward brings that element of – you know, that sort of quarterback that can keep drives alive and make things happen.
And he plays with his feet, too.
Yeah, he plays with his feet, and that buys him time to make those tough throws. He has so many elements within his game other than just a pure, you know, he's not a pure pocket passer. He can make things happen on multiple levels aside from just throwing the football, and his ability to extend plays is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, Jazz, do you have thoughts on Cam Ward, offensive line? We kind of hit everything there, so just come off mute and go for it, buddy.
Yeah, well, so the first thing I want to say is about Cam Ward. I think that one thing that we haven't touched on is how easy it is for him to read the coverage, read the field, go through his progressions, and how quickly he did it, and he made it look like he made everything look slow motion. And it was so impressive that as slow as everything was going, it was also going fast. It makes no sense at all, but it makes all the sense in the world. Like, it was progression, read after read after read. No, boom, hit the check down. Or read one wasn't there, read two is there, boom, hit that seam route. Whatever it was, you saw him kind of go through every single thing and not budge or not freak out or not go crazy, even when the play had to be extended. And of course, as Vish, Blue mentioned, everybody else mentioned, really, is that's a credit to his line as well, because it gave him the confidence to be able to do that without worrying. But he also stood there, whether he was, you know, whether he was scrambling out of the pocket or whether he was in the pocket, he waited sometimes to the very last moment, because he's looking down the field. Even a guy like him with his legs and how he's able to improvise, he was still looking down the field even though he was moving around. And that's a testament to the trust and the faith that he has in his line, the level of play that his line was producing, basically. And so it had to do with everything. But you see, there's different levels to what Cam Ward does on the football field compared to a lot of other quarterbacks in college football. And he kind of showed it to you that day, you know, and how he was able to kind of read the field and read his progression and check down or throw it down the field. Whatever it was, whatever was given to him, he was taking it, and it was pretty impressive.
I remember talking last year about Tyler Van Dyke and how his internal clock was rushed, and that often forced him to make some poor decisions on the field. The better quarterbacks and the elite quarterbacks have a slower, you know, internal clock, where it makes it seem like Jazz just mentioned, they're playing at a different speed than how the game is actually moving. Cam Ward has that, and that's going to translate very well, not only for, you know, this season, but I believe in the NFL.
Yeah, and I think Jazz just put it somewhat like this, but the game, he was playing fast, but it looked slow because he was just so comfortable. Well, there were a couple of times he was showboating in Tottenham, which was amazing.
Yep.
But where he could have kept running, he's like, I'm just going to walk out of bounds just to spite you.
I don't like that.
Oh, no, but that's the confidence you need.
No, I'm just saying that what's going to happen, someone's just going to take a shot at him going out of bounds.
They're going to do that anyway.
Like, I mean, that's a 15-yard penalty for us. I mean,
yeah, but they don't care. What if they hurt him? That's what I'm saying.
But that's going to happen anyway. At some point, someone's going to get frustrated when he's torching him and take a shot.
Yeah, I mean, get up.
I mean, they were. I mean, that touchdown he threw in the back of the end zone to Jacoby, he ended up in the. They shoved him. He ended up in the bench, which actually made for a cool visual. Because he was with his teammates already. But when the ball was caught in the back of the end zone, the UF guy ended up in the bush. That one, yep. Which that can't be safe, right?
That was awesome. That was so funny, right in front of all the recruits too.
Yeah, but that also, that's a little bit close to the field. That can't.
Yeah,
be
that's
safe.
A little dangerous, honestly.
Like, I was like, did he get cut up on his legs? I mean, he didn't. No one told him to sit in it, but yeah. So let me throw this question out there. We can start with you, Blue. So who obviously says pretty much? I mean, look, Borgalis missed a field goal. That wasn't great. There was one long play given up defensively. You know, so those are the things that Mario gets to say. Look, we can do this better, but. Overall, you know, there's unless you're really nitpicking, there's nothing to be upset about. So I'll go the other way. And who are you pleasantly surprised with?
I can't say Restrepo because he does that every game. So
well, that was interesting though, because I think people still obviously we watch this team play week in, week out, and for years, like you said, we've been seeing him do this. And I don't think because of the limitations of quarterback. You know, and some of the other things going around the program, people realized how good he is.
Yeah.
Well, and then all of a sudden, you know, oh, now we've got, weapons around him. They're like, oh, wow, look at this guy. Like, he's been doing this, like you said.
Yeah, well.
He's been propping up the passing game essentially for a couple of years now. So it's great to see him get that recognition.
By game 7 or 8, he'll be the all-time leading pass receiver in Miami history. And when you think about the Michael Irvins and the Andre Johnsons and such, that's not a bad thing. But I thought Barron, I think he's going to be one of the best in the nation. He's a freak. He's just,
I was blown away, Blue. I was blown away.
This guy is, he's high first round draft pick. He will. He's just that type of player. Anybody, you know what? He was like that at Tennessee. I watched him at Tennessee and he was probably the same thing, but I watched him the other day. He was unblockable. And also let me give credit to Zach Carpenter. Because he was going against Mr. 500 pounder all day and, you know, leaning on him a little bit. Yeah, I agree, Parrish. I agree. I think he had a great, great game. There's so many guys missed the single out, but I think Barron definitely loved to see the tight ends, as you know. It was good to see Dr. McCormick come up with a touchdown.
Yeah.
So throwing it to you, DJ. Did Blue steal your thunder there a little bit, or
who? No, I was actually going to say something different.
Took it all. I'm sorry.
Well, Gary did bring up McCormick there. Who do you got, DJ? And then Jazz is just getting out of his truck, so we'll have normal Jazz in a professional setting in a minute.
I don't know if there is a normal Jazz, but we'll go with that. Just kidding, buddy. But. For me, it's Zay Horton. You know, we talked about a receiver that could kind of like step up and, you know, be that leader and be that playmaker in the wide receiver room that we kind of weren't expecting. And I remember Horton's name came up a couple times over the course of the preseason shows, and he showed his playmaking ability. You know, over 17 yards a catch, was able to get downfield. So I was very impressed with the work that he did on Saturday.
Yeah, no, and actually that was something Jazz had brought up as a topic. I think it might have been the last show or the show before that. You know, how much is he going to, because we figure Brown and Jacoby, yeah, obviously, are the three top ones. But, yeah, no, he was dead on. It was a good topic to talk about because Gordon was everywhere. And they were able to get all – it's pretty impressive, able to get the running game going with Martinez, with Fletcher, and with Lyle, and, you know, have Horton, Restrepo, Jacoby, and the tight end. Brown and the tight ends all make impacts. Like, that is – that's a lot of good offense to get have all that happen. I'm going to I'm going to say Wesley Bissain.
Oh, yeah.
A very big step forward. And that he'd flash that. He'd had good games in bad ones. I was blown away. He was all over the field. He was in the backfield constantly disrupting. I, just to be honest, did not think he had taken that level of jump. Because, you know, Barron also was in the backfield like every play and then eventually knocked him out of the game. I mean, he was just that visible. But I thought Wes was just as visible. And you know, he's someone we've seen for a couple of years now. So it was awesome to see that career development. And, yeah, he also looks like a player on the next level. And I would say overall just the athleticism and physicality advantage. I mean, this is like an early 2000s Miami slogan, but bigger, stronger, faster was on display there. And that was across the board. I will also say the offensive line, I know Carpenter was mentioned. I thought UF's defense might give them a little bit more trouble than they did. They were able to open holes up. I loved how we were pulling linemen around. I saw somewhere, I'm going to find the comment, but yeah, I perish again. I felt like Dawson finally had confidence in his quarterback. To really and his line to call something, because it wasn't just the quarterback, like the line was not great last year either.
I mean, could you blame Dawson on Saturday?
No, I'm not blame him.
Saying in general, like I would too. I would open up the playbook with
But he's able to now. I'm sure, like, and frankly, a lot of people owe Mario an apology for a lot of things, but one of them is people fabricated that he was handcuffing Dawson on the playbook, not realizing, you know, the quarterback was limited and mistake prone. The offensive line was okay, but it wasn't what it is this year. And when you have those things, you are going to limit your playbook. You cannot just, like we did. I felt like we pulled linemen more in this game than I saw like the last couple of years, just and including the touchdown that Fletcher had where we pulled Sam Brown around too. And I felt like you just had that confidence. Hey, these guys can execute. I can call what I want and it's going to work. And obviously that starts with a quarterback, but I felt the whole team was kind of there. As Blue said, Elijah Arroyo just finally healthy and man, that's what we thought we had there. So it's just, it all kind of came together there. All right. I'm going to flip this around. Jazz says he'll be back on in a couple of minutes. We should see him momentarily so we can answer that. But while we wait for that, we can kind of do the next topic and he can do them both in sequence. But is there anything coming out of this game that concerns you?
We'll go with you, Blue. Wow.
I mean, there is some scenery here, some context in that Florida is really bad. And so I think it's still impressive. If you play a power conference team on the road and push them around like that, it doesn't even matter that they're – that's still impressive, but I do. I mean, we are going to play better teams than that. So there's that. But yeah,
you can't come away with that from that game thinking anything. But everybody stepped up, and yeah, I really don't think there was anything that they had to work on. I mean, yeah, get 565 yards of offense and only give up 238. I do think that DJ Lagway is going to be a problem down the line, though. He's a nice.
I do wonder for which program.
Yeah, maybe Miami, but.
I mean, even if not, I mean, it's hard. Look, they're gonna be in the hunt for a new coach pretty soon. So, you know, the question is he gonna stick it out with the new coach or hit the portal?
I think that bottom half of the schedule is not friendly.
This is where, and this is some of the talk coming into this, right? Because It's both things. That schedule is rough and they stink. That's a bad combination. It's not just the schedule, though.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't.
No, they should win this week, though.
they don't. Samford.
if they don't, then they really have problems.
Yeah.
Right, but so this is some of what I'm talking about. Yeah, no, they have some athletes, but they're not. Just because you're in the SEC does not mean you're good.
Ask Vanderbilt.
This is a whole other thing. If we can't win this conference this year, I mean, Virginia Tech was one of the dark horses that they couldn't beat Vandy. It has opened up quite a bit. But, I mean, look, I think the difference between the SEC and the other conferences, and I think we're going to see more of that now with this new playoff format, is they've consistently had two and a half, if you want to count LSU, of like the top five or six programs. So they're always in the playoffs. They're always in championship games.
Mm.
The middle of the road team, like South Carolina, is not significantly better than what we're playing when we like play Virginia Tech or when we play, you know, those middle of the road ACC teams. They're just not. And unfortunately for Florida, they're in that bucket now. They're in that lower echelon of team. So they're not. I mean, this is going to be what, their third or fourth losing season in a row. Like, they're terrible. And it's just the reality of where they're at. So to me, that's the only concern I would have, you know, to answer my own question. DJ, I don't know if you have an answer for this. It's just that they're so bad, we might be a little bit big headed, and we're not going to be tested again for a few weeks at least. So, you know, what I wouldn't want is to go into like Tampa and like play a sloppy game against USF, because we'll kind of lose focus. I will say, and I still think we'd win that game, even if we played like crap, but I don't want to see that. But I also will say this team appears to be a little bit different mentality-wise. Like, they have a lot bigger hopes and dreams than you know, just beating the crap out of Florida. So,
yeah, well, they'll get I think this could be one of their biggest crowds this week, because Florida A&M has one of the best followings of their Florida A&Ms in South Florida.
Yeah, I know. They got the band. Yeah,
they could get 50, sure. I hope.
Yeah, no, I think we'll have a good crowd up there. Let me get Jazz back in his homestead now. All right, Jazz, so a couple of topics we need you to weigh in on. First, anyone surprise you with how good they played on Saturday? And then second, is there anything coming out of that game that concerns you?
Okay. Who surprised me the most? I would have to say, as a whole, is our defensive backs. Meech Powell, Damari Brown before he got hurt, he was locked in, right? Like he was, and there was nothing, you know, that he wasn't going to be able to kind of defend. And you saw that, you know, hopefully, according to some of the people, they say that he's going to be fine. He'll be ready to go again. But I guess they held him out for precaution, unlike maybe like Bain, who's going to be out a couple of weeks. But, I think Meech Powell was – I don't want to say he was surprising, but, you know, because he did start in the national championship game last year, right? So the guy's pretty damn good. But I just think that, you know, all the talk was that was our weak point, right? Who was it going to be? Was it Jaden Harris? Was it going to be Marquise Williams? Daryl Porter looked really good. Even on that PI call was kind of whatever. It was kind of crap. So I just love the way that our defensive backs played. OJ Frederick, as I told, I know we've spoken about this, but he was my guy back there. He got the start at corner, right? Like, that's huge. Freshman getting the start at corner, getting 29 snaps. And then some of the other guys, as I mentioned before, with Meech, with Marquise Williams making some plays on the tight ends when they were driving a little bit. The interception by both Meech Powell and Jaden Harris when he was on the floor. So, I mean, if he's not before, I think he takes that back for a touchdown, right? So I think the overall play of defensive backs was really awesome.
Man, Campbell owed Meech Powell a block on that. That should have been a touchdown. He didn't hit the running back. He owed him a block. I wanted the Bo Sykes retro touchdown there, and he didn't get the block. He didn't put him on his butt. So the running back.
That's so true. I totally forgot about that. Yep, you're right. You're right. Concerning is –
By the way, no one's come up with a good answer yet, so you're on the spot.
Okay. I didn't even answer, but I'll just say no.
Okay. My most concerning is going to be Borregales. He's got to tighten up a little bit. He missed that one field goal, and then the other point after, looked like he missed it, but apparently he's just snuck it in on a line drive. So I think maybe he needs to just kind of tighten up. I feel like he was just so confident and so loose that he was just like, let's go, right? I don't know. I mean, it's probably not a good answer either. But Borja Gales, tighten up.
Well, I will say, you know, he's one of the best kickers in the country. Yeah. He's been missing. He missed a few towards the end of last year. If you look at his percentages, you'd be shocked at how many kicks he's missed.
It's a really big one sometimes. Yeah.
Well, right. We don't have a lot. We haven't had a lot of big ones because we've been terrible.
I'm getting it along.
But I mean, I think he could probably tighten up a little bit. We're talking about a college kicker. He's a weapon. They're like, oh, he missed. Wow. And then if you look again, he missed 6 or 7 field goals last year. It wasn't like when his brother didn't miss a kick the entire year. Like, he hasn't been doing that. So there's a little bit he could. You know, hopefully we're not kicking many field goals, though. That's the
all of his kicks were touchbacks, though. That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, he's a great kicker. Like, that's why. I mean, we're nitpicking, right?
Yeah.
But, well, it was like Cam Ward. If he didn't, maybe he can not throw that one interception. You know, this is the nitpicking part of the show. Although I will say they kind of beat him up for throwing back across his body. As I said at the beginning of the show, he completed 4 or 5 passes doing the same thing for big yardage. So you can't. You can't restrict that and then, you know, take away all those other plays because you want, those plays. Yeah, and Mario kind of bet the house on that, on getting Cam in here. Yep. So.
And look, as far as the cross-the-body throws go, some quarterbacks are more comfortable with that, believe it or not. And, it's obviously scary to watch as a fan because you don't like those, you know, riskier throws, but – you know, for many quarterbacks now, that's the type of style they play.
I don't even feel like they were that risky. Like, for him, like, it just felt that that's his play. That's how he plays, right? He plays like that. He throws the ball from so many different angles. He, you know, he sees things that maybe others don't see. I mean, think about that touchdown that he threw to X on that skinny post /seam route, whatever you want to call it. Like, he's thread the needle there. You just don't see it in the angle that the camera shows. But if you're looking at it straight ahead, he's got one cornerback on one side. He's got the safety in the right behind him. So he's got to kind of like hit it right in the middle. If not, that gets picked off. And he's really good at that. So as slow as everything looks, you know, he threw that hard. He threw that with precision. It's impressive.
But he's decisive in his reads too, which helps a lot. The ball comes out. That's why he's able to. He doesn't always have to gun it to
right
to because the ball is coming out on time. So if he needed, you know, if he needed a loft, that he was able to, because again, the ball is coming out early enough where he is able to do that. Yeah, no, I mean, I think the only question coming out Saturday is like, how bad is Florida? So not to, if we had done that to USF, I don't think we would have, you know, at USF is probably a tougher game, just to be honest. And so.
I don't know.
I think Florida's that level of bad.
Yeah, I don't think they're that. I know I've told you this already. I don't think they're that bad. I just think that Miami is really freaking bad.
Oh, no. I think both things can be true. Sure. And that's why the game was a complete. I mean, Jazz and I watched the game together. And when Cam Ward jotted out of bounds on the first drive, I'm like, this game's over. We're so in their head. Well, it started midweek. We actually didn't talk about this because this happened after our show when we ruined their wideout by wearing all white jerseys. This whole thing was just a mental, like, we're going to mess with them. And I don't think they ever recovered from the way that we were just overconfident and just kind of went in there to dominate them and did it from the first snap. So
it was. I just don't understand this whole. I mean, I guess I do understand it because those guys over there in Gainesville are delusional, right? I mean, we've had our moments. Canes fans have had our moments where we're pretty damn delusional. But, like, to sit there and literally say Graham Mertz is the better quarterback, Cam Ward, and, you know, our defensive backfield sucks, and, you know, their wide receivers are better than ours, and, you know, Boardingham, because he's been there 12 years, is better than Arroyo. And it was just like one thing, their linebackers, you know, are way better than our linebackers. And look, man, they've got some players. I'm not going to diminish. Look, some of their guys are not bad, right? Like, they've got some
They've got some pretty.
Now, Eugene Wilson's as good as anybody in the country.
Yeah, Trey Wilson, that kid can play. That kid, Montrell Johnson's really good.
Oh, player. Yeah, great back. Great back.
Okay. And in the backfield, their DBs are not bad. Jason Marshall, obviously, we all know who he is. You know, and some of the other Sharif Denson and some of the other guys that they have are not terrible.
No.
The kid that got the pick. Like, some of those guys are talented players, TJ Searcy, right? Like, some of those guys are pretty damn good. They don't. So much for having the five-star number one defensive end, LJ McCray, and that guy didn't see the field not one time.
No, not once. He was banged up, too. That's why he didn't play.
Gotcha.
But that's all right. I thought the best sign I saw all night.
But, you know?
Huh?
He wouldn't have made a difference, but still, the point is.
No, they would.
No.
Mark Salah was just too much for them.
The whole game.
Hey, the sign I saw yesterday on Twitter or X, it says Miami, the best team money could buy. And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? Why don't you go see Ohio State? Why don't you go see Oregon, who just spent $4 billion? Yeah, Georgia. That's trash. That's trash.
No, it's the last refuge of the lost. Like, they've got nothing else.
Yeah.
No, I mean they literally played I Won't Back Down after the third quarter, then left the stadium immediately because they don't know what irony is. So I just you know, this is who you're dealing with. So they're gonna, you know, they're gonna go, oh, your stadium's on campus. They're gonna talk about that. They're gonna talk about we bought the team, and they're going to win three games this year. And that is.
That'd be a lot. They need to spend more money.
Well, I mean, this is the problem. Look, so Jazz, where's the delusion coming from? I mean, we've been there, right? I mean, but they're now in the dead man walking part of the phase. Like, this is when we brought back Al Golden for a fifth year because we were too cheap to fire him. You already know he's failed. And so you're sitting there and you're like, this isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And eventually the bottom fell out 58-0 and he got fired, right? But that fifth year, especially, we had lost a bunch of games then in the previous season. And it was like, this, how do you not fire him after that? Right? Come back for another year, same, just a continuation. And they should have fired him. They didn't. And so now, yeah, they do have a few talented kids, but they're few and far between in terms of what, when you think UF and where their talent level should be. Like, this is big time football we're playing here. Like, they should be getting, you know, best of the best, and they're just not. And so, other than a handful of guys we mentioned, right. And then you have a coach that everyone basically knows is going to get fired, trying to recruit, trying to hire assistant coaches. Who's he getting in there? He's getting his old buddy that he used to coach with, because that's the only guy that'll show up. He's getting Dan Enos. Like, this is what happens.
Did you see him up in the booth? Dan Enos in the booth. Freaked out. I was like, what is Dan Enos
doing? No, but that's what happens when you don't have a head coach that has job stability. Because people are not going to – the only people that'll join you at that point are ones that are like, I'm never going to get a chance to coach a program like Florida again.
Right.
I got to take the shot. Maybe it'll work. But, like, the bet – like, if you go and try – like, normally Florida can attract – In fact, we can talk about how they failed as a head coaches. We're watching Boston College, right? Adazio came out of that coaching tree. Mullen came out of that coaching tree. Because when it was Urban Meyer, there was stability. Charlie Strong, right? That's the type of assistant coach they can attract when they're healthy. But what they are right now is a disaster. And so you saw that on the field. Like, they're not just – it's not just the talent. They're poorly coached because they don't have good coaches because they can't attract them right now.
Adazio was a disaster too. Let's be clear. He
at BC.
Yeah, at BC. At
my
BC.
Point is, they were grooming coaches that became head coaches elsewhere. No one's hiring anyone to even do the same job they're doing at UF at another school right now, let alone promoting them. Like, this is a mess. So.
They're already talking about their top five options for next year. So
yeah. So that's the only thing. So back to Miami. That's the only thing to temper. That was such a miss. I mean, that is what I thought was going to happen, but just seeing it in real time, it was stunning how much of a mismatch that game was just from the opening snap. And so, you know, we are going to play several teams, even with we do have a weak schedule. We can be blunt about that too, but even with that weaker schedule, we're going to play several teams that are better than Florida. And so we are going to have to, you know, stay focused, and it's going to be a long slog of a season for us to maintain this level of intensity and play, given that a lot of the teams don't look good on paper that we're playing, to be able to continue to maintain that sharpness. Because that was the one thing too, like, from the opening snap, we were so sharp. The tackling, first drive of the game was they tried to run a reverse on third and short and gang tackled in the backfield all the way through to, like, you know, making acrobatic catches, throws, like dropping throws, and everything was so sharp. It looked like we were in our midseason form. Now you got to maintain that for 16 games. Three playoff games and the ACC championship. That's a lot. That's a lot of football to maintain through, right? So
the truth is, you gotta look. I hate to make this, an example, but you know, same thing kind of went for FSU last year. Right? A lot of people talked about how their schedule wasn't really tough. They won that one good big game against LSU at the beginning of the year, and then kind of cruised through for the most part towards the rest of the year. But look, man, you got to win all the games that are in front of you. Bottom line, right? You got to win the games. And as you mentioned, like our schedule is on paper right now. It doesn't look great. It looks, you know, kind of soft, but that could change, right? You can get these teams like the Syracuse of the world. I don't know how they did this weekend. Honestly, I kind of missed the game, but
I think they won.
They won.
Yeah.
They won.
That's a good program right there, right? They got a good quarterback, well coached, good wide receivers. They've got, you know, good tight ends. They've got a lot of promise there. So that's a team that could turn around and be really good, right? I think Louisville.
Those
teams could be better than we think
they
are.
If you look at our road games, at Louisville it's not easy. At Georgia Tech is not easy. Yeah. At Syracuse, not easy. I don't know what we're doing playing at USF. That game should be at home. Right. What are we thinking? Like, that's we'll actually, frankly, probably have as many, if not more, fans.
Is that a home and home?
Yeah.
Yeah, but why are you playing? One.
Alabama got the home and home with them. They played there. Well, Alabama played there last year.
Yeah.
And now,
I don't know what we're doing there, but that's one where we probably will have more fans than them, or even amount, so won't be that bad. But that's just, you know, all that's mileage on your team you probably don't need. It's not as easy as it looks, because
right.
We talked about this, like, we're going to Berkeley, we're going to Syracuse,
right?
We're going everywhere, right? Like, that's like
the state for the first 4 weeks,
right,
so
right,
that's not bad,
right? But it's multiple in-state road trips, though. Like, you didn't need,
yeah, but they're
UF is different, like
hour ride, have, that's it.
Well, no, it's like four to Tampa. We'll take
no,
the
but they flew.
Yeah, they'll fly.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing. Like, pack, like going on the road is still, you have to still have to go on the road, even if it's and again, that's like all I'm saying is that's like an unnecessary thing to then have to turn around and play Virginia Tech 6 days later. I know they lost to Vanderbilt. It's still a rivalry game, and you're doing it on a Friday. There's some weirdness in the schedule that I would say makes it a little bit more challenging than it looks on paper when you see, you know, after FSU gets done here, we're not gonna have a ranked team left on the schedule. So
unless some of the other teams kind of jump in, but yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Louisville should be there.
And maybe Georgia Tech if they keep playing.
Yeah, yeah. But, so, I mean, there's better, you know, these teams are better than they look. So we got to just maintain that level of.
Did Georgia Tech play this weekend?
Yeah, they won.
Yeah, they won.
Going to Berkeley is absolutely nuts. Like, just hearing that sentence is crazy.
But they're off the following week, so.
True. It's just
again, that's the bonus of having Virginia Tech on a Friday is 8 days before you play Cal, so you get an extra day there too.
True. It's just crazy to think about. Like, this is
crazy to think about is they're going to Ireland and then playing the next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got that Irish stew. Money is the thing.
But you know, it would be less of an issue doing things like, I don't understand how Georgia Tech gave up a home conference game.
That didn't make any sense
like
to me.
Like you just said, because of this.
Right, but like, especially with the new playoff
format. Aerolingus paid them $1 trillion there.
Aerolingus.
They're going to get a new, they're going to be an Aerolingus facility.
Aerolingus in the
Guinness. Airline game ever. It was Aerolingus.
I'm assuming it's Irish for something that's not as profane as it sounds in English.
Oh, man. Anyways, I think, by the way, have you guys even brought up the whole thing at the end of the game with the recruiting?
Oh, with the recruiting?
Yeah, yeah, we haven't done that, but.
Yeah, we have not. Go for it, Jess.
So wait, so is that even, I mean, you guys are probably
legal?
Is that even legal for her to be doing what she was doing, right? Which is, number one, put your hands on them. You don't put your hands on anybody, number one. Number two, they're in the stands. And by the way, Booker Pickett is cousins with DJ Pickett. So if he wants to go up to him and say hi to him, that's his family anyways. go by and say hi. Justin Scott knows all those guys really well as well. So a lot of those players went over there to say what's up to them. Yeah, I mean, I get the what it looks like for them, but can they legally be like, hey, you guys can't come over here, get out of here, pushing them away, giving, you know, doing all everything that that lady was doing. Is that even legal for her to do, and or is it legal for us to do, right? I guess.
I think if the shoe was on the other foot, Miami would do the same. I mean, not in that way, but they would make sure that the other team didn't infringe on their recruits.
They probably wouldn't be stupid enough to have them sitting right next to the tunnel.
Yeah.
I don't understand why they put them in, because it was the same, like, when Homeboy went into the bushes and disappeared into them. It was right in front of all the recruits, and you could sit there laughing at him. Like, it was, I don't know, why are they not on the UF sideline? Like, I don't understand what they're doing. So to me, like, that's poor
event. They baited them into it. Like,
no, yeah, but I mean, like, why would you have them sitting in the end zone on the, like, because that whole area.
It's also kind of unsafe. Yeah.
That's where the Miami Road fans, they put them too. So they're all sitting, like, they're one side of the tunnel, and then looping around is the Miami fan section. And then right in front of them is the recruits. Like, there's going to be interactions then. I don't understand why they're not like, we put the kids on the sideline. Like, what do you do? Why are they in the stands?
So it was their fault too for not.
Yeah, no, they should have. They should have planned that out better. I'm assuming that's where they always put them.
I heard Mario, did you hear the interview? He said, I think before the game, he says, yeah, and they only gave us 4,000 tickets. I think that's a crime.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he said that. And then so did, I think Radakovich as well.
That's poor, man. Because
they were apologizing to our fans because we're like, how come there's no tickets? And they only gave us 4,000. So
that's poor.
And we didn't even take the band, I think, to free up more space. So
giving Florida A&M more this week.
Yeah, because normally we take the band if the band can drive. But this time they didn't take them because there was
no room.
They only gave us, so we should give them nothing next year.
But the best part of Saturday will be A&M's band, so that'll be have to hang out for halftime and watch that. Plus, they got 18 kids from South Florida.
Well, you know who the starting running back is, right?
Yeah. What's his name? It was here last year.
Pat Franklin. Franklin is.
And their starting quarterback is Daniel Richardson, who is from Carroll City. So
yeah, so there's some.
Yeah, you know, but
they may give us a better game than UF did.
Jazz, what do you think? Team with the pulse. This should be a 50,000 attendance, because you're going to have a lot of people that want to see Miami in person for what they saw the other day. Plus, Florida A&M's largest population of graduates are here in South Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna get a good crowd, that band.
I hope so. I really do.
Look, honestly speaking, look, that band is awesome, number one.
They're great.
Number two, FAMU is the defending national champions. Yeah.
They're number one in the nation in the HBCU poll.
They might be better than Florida.
They might be better than Florida, right? I think UCF is going to go up there and beat Florida. They play them in 3 weeks.
That's a good.
I mean, we should definitely like have a Billy Napier like getting fired watch on the show, because he's not going to make it to the end of the year.
Like the Al Golden.
I mean, that one. Al Golden was lucky enough where there were some soft games in the middle to keep it. I mean, if they had opened with Clemson that year.
Shoot.
I don't know how we would have gotten to week two.
I don't think this is your typical.
Yeah, no, Kermit. Our fans showed up big time.
I agree, Kermit, but they only gave 4,000.
Yeah,
I think a lot of the fans kind of wiggled some, you know, tickets from other people.
We a lot more than 4K found.
Oh yeah, there, but they only gave four,
which is ludicrous.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health.
Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I agree. We'll see. It should be fun, though. Yeah, you should get a good crowd.
Yeah, no, there'll be a good crowd out for game. Six p.m. is a good time for the game.
Yeah, too. great time.
Ball State will be a little bit probably deader. 3:30 in the heat. No local angles, as you said. There's a lot of Florida A&M alumni in Miami too that'll show up.
Sure,
so should be a fun game. And they cheer for Miami when they're not playing FAMU. So it's
the only guy who'll show up for the Ball State game will be David Letterman. So.
Jason Whitlock.
Yeah, Jason Whitlock.
That's right.
Those are the Ball State alums. They're just we'll talk about this, I guess, next week, but they're, you know, last year we opened Miami of Ohio, who's from the same conference. They won the MAC last year.
Yeah.
Like they're actually a good Ball State is one of the worst teams in the MAC. So plan accordingly.
Get those stats padded.
Ball State is making a lot of money on that game. So
sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's the business.
So is Middle Tennessee State, but that doesn't mean.
Okay. All right. Let's look, man. We turned a corner. I don't even know. I've used the Men in Black brain eraser thing. I don't remember anything before last Saturday. Whatever happened before that didn't actually happen. We won the Rose Bowl, then some stuff happened, and then last Saturday.
Then I woke up. Yes, last Saturday. What a bad dream. That'd be a good commercial to make.
Every time I speak to someone, right, because I haven't stopped wearing orange and green the rest of the week anywhere I go. And so you get, you know, everybody comes out of the woodworks now and starts telling you, go Canes, and this is.
No,
what a game, and this and the other. And listen, at the same time, I don't mind it. I love it. Sounds good. It sounds good. And we talked about this, right, Vish? We talked about this with Ethan, too. It's like, now, and when the Canes are good, everybody gets crazy in the city. We start, you know, all the bandwagon fans and all the, you know, the quiet fans all of a sudden start talking a little bit. But I will tell you this. Every time someone asks me about the game or asks me, hey, oh, my God, what a great game. The thing that comes to mind, and I told Vish this as well this week, I go, that was fun to watch.
Yeah, very fun to watch.
You know, and how many times have we said, man, it was fun to watch Miami play football.
Not very many times.
It's been a while. I think against a quality
team.
I mean, Texas A&M, we could have said that a little bit. But even then,
Texas A&M last year was a good game to win.
This was a level above that. This was different. Just the feel of it was different. And I know it sounds very cliche to say, but if you really look back at it, I mean, everything about it feels different. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
Was it exciting? Yes, it was exciting. But it wasn't like, we got to give the ball to number so-and-so. We got to give the ball to this guy. This is what he has to do. No, it's more like sitting back and saying, wow, let's see what he does next. It's just going to blow us away. Oh, he hit Sammy Brown on this play. He should have scored on that touchdown. Oh, He hit Elijah Arroyo on that first down. Look at what Elijah Lofton did. I mean, I just realized we have two Elijahs at tight end. Elijah Lofton, look what he did. You know, on that one play that he took it for like 40 yards, he just bounced off of people. It was a big bowling ball. Look at Damian Martinez. We're like, me and Vish are like, hey, how come we haven't seen Damian Martinez in like three series? What the hell is going on here? And then all of a sudden you see Mark Fletcher bounce one out for a touchdown. And then the next series is Jordan Lyle, and he gets like a 10-yard carry, and he's running people over. And then you're like, oh, okay. Oh, look, there's Damian Martinez. Boom. They give him a little toss, and he runs the linebacker.
A.J. early. Allen even got in there for a carry, I think.
Yeah, it was crazy, right? So we were just like sitting back and enjoying the show. It's been tough. It's been hard to say that about Miami football for a long time. So I think this was one of those days where you're like, yeah, that was fun to watch, man.
But I'll say a couple other things, you know, related to that. I think we knew going in. I think, you know, as much as – and actually when we were on Coach Hayes' show, I kind of argued with Flo about his anxiety. I was right, by the way. But I do think there's a different feeling around the program. That's why I got more confident as the week went on, because you can feel it. This is what we talked about with Ethan when we did that crossover show. The city feels different. Like you said, people want to talk about this team even before the game, though.
Yeah.
We were at Pincho Factory, and the dude working there was like, hey, are you going down to the game? Are you going up to the game? We should get in a car and go to games. I'm like, I don't know you, so probably not. But, you know, you see that type of stuff when the team is good and it's been absent. And I just felt like there's something different happening here. And I thought the team approached it that way, as much as it was a big game. And one that they obviously wanted to win and took personally because it was a big game. Like I mean, Mario, you saw him, how happy he was afterwards. He was taunting Gator fans and all. Like, so it wasn't just another game. No, but I mean, that you could tell, like, hey, this is a rivalry and they embrace that. But they just came out there working like we're going to dominate this team. There was none of the – they didn't go out there to win. They went out there to kill them. And that's that's what changed it around.
They're showing Billy trying to open
I saw that. His struggle with the water bottle. I mean, literally nothing went right for that man.
Jazz, couldn't even open the water
bottle. No,
well, his press conference, he was trying to open a water bottle and he couldn't get it open. He gave up. He gave up.
Yeah, he never got it open.
Showing it on ESPN just now. They won't leave that man alone. But I thought that was the difference, like, between the past. Because even, as you mentioned, A&M was a fun win. We gave up, 31 points in that game? Like, they threw an interception in the end zone. Like, it was... We look at the defense line, we got a lot to clean. There was nothing. We were struggling to think of something to clean up off of this game.
Right.
It would be nice if Borgalis made that field goal. Not that it matters. And we've seen him make a million field goals and know he'll make the next 10. And it's just like we're stretching here. And that's why it felt different. It's not just about the one game. It's about, you know, the potential there. And some of the players, we talked about Tyler Barron. We haven't seen something like that in a long time.
No, a long time.
And you know, Reuben Bain basically didn't even play in. It didn't matter. Like, there's more that this team can do. I think that's why it's so – as great as the game felt, like Jazz says, it felt, you know, like turning the page into, okay, being an elite program again. There's so much more runway in front of them to exploit that. It feels different. The other thing, Jazz, we have not mentioned that Mark Fletcher touchdown. I called it before the
– Oh, my God, yes. Nostradamus over here. I'm sitting down on the couch with this guy, and all of a sudden he goes, I think we should run off the left what is it off
yeah the left tackle. It was like second and goal. I was just in my bag. I had that game pegged. I've used up all of my good prediction on the one game, unfortunately, because if you look at my track record, it's not good. So like, it all came together for that one game where I kind of nailed it. But yeah, no, it was like second and nine. Like, should we throw this into the end zone? And I was like, or we could just run it off left tackle and we get a touchdown. Then, like, they immediately hit him the ball.
Unbelievable. That was nice. He called it. I swear. It was like 15 seconds after he said it happened. And I'm like,
when I saw the formation, I was like, I'm pretty sure we could just. I did not have, I will say, I did not have Sam Brown pulling around and sealing the edge by knocking a DB on his ass. That I did not see coming on that play.
That was awesome.
Unbelievable. Just physical everywhere.
So now what? Now what?
now we win 15 more games and we win the championship. What are you talking about?
Show and tell.
Well, we definitely got to end with show and tell, but is there anything else we need to talk about with this?
We didn't even talk about Florida A&M that much, but yeah, I mean, really quick before show and tell, because I guess this is basically we are previewing this.
Yeah.
FAMU also, right? Daniel Richardson, as you mentioned, Thad Franklin. They've got some transfer portal guys there from Division One Blue. What can you tell us about FAMU? You probably know them better than anybody else. FAMU coming down to Miami and facing the Hurricanes this weekend.
Yeah, well, you know what? They actually didn't play very well the last week, but you know what? We'll see what happens. Like you said, they got a bunch of kids that are, you know, that are coming in from last year. Thad Franklin, obviously. A lot of kids from South Florida. The kid Latari Kinsler from Pahokee, I think, is going to be special. They got a bunch of kids that went away and came back. You know, Marquez Bell, you know, who was from Lake City, went away. I think he was at South Carolina. I think he's a graduate student. They got a bunch of kids who, you know, I mean, and what's his name is Coles. He's a good coach from down here. Like I said, Daniel Richardson, he went up there. He was at Florida Atlantic last year. Corey Collier, who went away to Nebraska, from Palmetto, Miami Palmetto. He's one of those guys. Trying to think who else that came down.
I didn't know Corey Collier was at a FAMU.
Yeah.
I know Miami was looking at him hard. Remember that whole recruiting battle with him in Nebraska and Florida?
Yeah. I'm trying to think who else. There's a few other kids that I'm trying to remember offhand that went away. Oh, Robert Glanton, a kid from up in North Florida. He went to Wake Forest. He's a DB, a real good one. He went back there. I'm trying to think. I had a bunch of kids. I didn't make a list, but I'm trying to think who else. Yeah, you said Thad Franklin. Thad's like 250 or something, 240. He's a big-ass kid. Who else? I'm trying to think.
Well, he was supposed to be that thumper here, right?
I thought maybe there was a personality thing. And he was in the doghouse.
How long have you been holding on to that one, Jess?
That's right. I just came up with it right now, man. Never once thought about it before.
What?
You didn't hear that? He called him Thud Franklin here.
Oh. Well, we'll see. He'll get some carries. I don't think.
I mean, his numbers aren't. Yeah, his numbers haven't been great, and they haven't really played.
Yeah, anymore, well, so against I, this I, run, and I'm sure that he, you know, the okay. Here's the only thing that probably I got. Why didn't they, in the latter stages with 5-6 minutes? Why didn't you just pull Ward and put in let Williams get some snaps?
That's a good question. Are we even sure it's Williams and not Poffenberg?
Whoever. Well, no, Williams is second on the depth chart.
Yeah. Poffenberg was the one that went in.
Yeah, he did, right? He went in for –
That was like 40 seconds. Like
three minutes.
Right. Left, yeah. So I don't know who they would have got. I expect both of them to play on Saturday.
I agree. I think that – but they want to get that – I think they give them three good quarters with the starters.
Ooh, that's a lot. I think a half, maybe.
It depends on the score, man. I mean, if it's like 40-7, yeah, you're gonna see three. Third and fourth quarter is gonna be the backup.
Okay, so the depth chart had an or on quarterbacks.
Yeah, but if it's like 24-10.
Oh boy!
Wow, what a play!
Oh, I'm watching it now.
Knock him over.
Oh, the interception.
Down to the 7.
That was a stupid play call, but a great play by Boston College.
DJ especially with is DJ, so bad.
DJU is terrible.
He oh, I love this.
Are you guys talking about the interception?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I interrupted this whole FAMU breakdown.
That was beautiful.
I want him to go to the house with it, but you know we'll take it down to the 7.
That was kind of like what they did to Mish Powell, man. You got to hit that block, dude.
I think they did. I think he just got caught. I think he just got tangled up. They put DJU on his butt, so
he's not very good.
No, he's awful.
He's been at the three places. I don't know.
There's a lot to be said. You know, again, Mario's been criticized for certain things. His talent evaluation is off the charts because, you know, he basically said, I'm not taking this kid even if there's no Cam Ward. And you can see why, because there's no way I'd rather have him play than Emory Williams or at the time Jakari Brown was still here.
No way.
Like, I'd rather have those guys playing.
Jakari played the other day for USF, right?
CF.
UCF, excuse me. UCF, he played a little bit.
Yeah, no, but I mean that's why I'm seeing Jacari Brown.
Oh yeah. Well,
no, but that's why you know Mario's a good evaluator of talent. It's like, no, I don't. This kid is not good enough, and there's no reason to take him, and that's why his dad got all upset. But look at this. This is what you're
doing. Go BC.
No, but this is Mario's elite in talent evaluation. Sometimes he'll take guys that we're like, why are you taking that guy? And turns out to be a really good player because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a touchdown.
Yep.
Yeah. Hold on. I didn't see it.
Well, it's coming, man. Trust me. He fit it in there.
Yeah, we got it. We're on delay, Jazz.
Yeah, I see that.
Oh, whoops. Castellanos is a good quarterback.
You must have KXfinity.
I do.
That's what I have. So we're behind.
Yeah, I think there's, you know what, I think honestly, I think because there's more regulations on stuff when you run it through cable, like they get FCC regulates.
Well, I don't have cable. This is on my ESPN app on my
phone. Okay, well, there you go. Anyway, let's get back to the best team in the state here. Actually, yeah, you kind of missed when we talked about Horton a little bit, Jazz. I know you brought him up a couple of weeks ago, so.
Yeah.
That hit the nail on the head with that one. He was all over the place.
The nicest throw of the game, and I am scratching my back on my back scratcher line.
I wasn't going to – you know what, man? I wasn't going to even say anything, and then you called it out.
My back itches, man. I got to do it, you know?
Yeah, but I was just going to ignore that this was happening, and then
– Is that what old people do, use back scratchers when –
That's what fat people do when they can't get their hands to their back.
This still think it's better even if you can reach. Like, why do you want to be, like, contorting and doing this when you can just get up thinking, oh, yeah. Horton.
Oh, yeah, Zay Horton. Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people talked about him having, you know, potentially the best numbers on this team. And look, he did good, right? He caught a couple of nice throws. The nicest throw that Cam Ward made all game was on that throw that that he kind of fitted in there to Zay Horton on
in the corner, on the sideline. Yeah,
on the sideline. That was a beautiful, beautiful throw. Great catch. And then you just see
also the touchdown to Jacoby. That was right there.
Come on, that was silly.
Ran around, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah, that was silly. That was a silly throw. But yeah, I think Horton, you can see some of those guys are mismatches, man. 6'4", 220 for Horton. Sammy Brown was all over the field making great blocks, caught a couple nice balls. Should have gotten in the end zone, but got twirled around on that play. That they threw it to him at the goal line. Jacoby George kind of did his thing, right? He didn't have huge numbers, but you see the stat, and he scored on that great touchdown. And then X and Elijah Royal. They had four catches for 89 yards, I think, for Royal. And
X had seven catches.
Seven for 112 and a touchdown. And that one play where he tore the ACL of what's his name, Asa Turner, the safety for the Florida Gators. Tore his ACL on that play where he did a little.
Whoop. Yeah. It's weird.
What about him not being athletic and shifty, right? I mean, look at what that kid did.
Well, it's weird to hear all those accolades about Xavier Restrepo. Because when Miami recruited him, all these people are saying he's a 1AA kid, he's this, that, and I said, no, trust me, I've watched him since he was 11 years old. This kid, he's a gamer is what he is. And he's worked harder than anybody on that team, and he don't stop. And Mario, you know, I asked him that question, you know, when he first got here. I said, would Restrepo be a kid that you would have recruited? And he goes, without question. He says, you could see just the way he is. And, I mean, when they're referring him to – oh, and Restrepo is one of the best in the country. You say, wow, you know, that's pretty far from a kid should be 1AA. I mean, you know, right. He's a first team all ACC. He's probably going to, God willing, he's going to stay healthy, and he's going to get 80, 90 catches this year. And he's his fifth one to break the record. So hopefully in game 5 or 6 or 7, that's pretty damn good. I don't care what anybody says, because you look at all the studs that have played here and played that position, you know, the Michael Irvins and, you know, and the Andre Johnsons who, you know, are in the Hall of Fame type guys. So that's a pretty good thing to hold your hat on, you know, just like Duke Johnson being the all-time leading rusher. I mean, you know, with all the McGahees and Frank Gores and everybody they have here. So, you know, even though it may not mean much to some people, it means a whole lot to people like that. I saw Duke Johnson the other day.
Yeah. Retired, right? He retired this year.
Yeah. I thought he was going to help be like an analyst from Miami, but I don't think so. They got 3,000. They just hired a time manager now.
That should be fun.
Jesus.
Well, Mario solved that problem by winning by 50 points. We're not timeouts. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know what? The first half, I think we did run out of timeouts like early. Like, it doesn't matter. This game's over anyway. It doesn't matter. You can do whatever you want when you're winning by 20.
Amen. Anyways, show and tell.
Yeah, I got something that kind of revisits where Miami's headed now, hopefully. And here we go.
Oh, yes, thrown down the gauntlet.
Nice. So you got the two national championships in there, the team of the 80s.
Wow, what happened to 89?
I don't know. Maybe this was done in 87.
Wow, that was a premature claiming of team of the you need that third title to really bring it all home, man.
So that's it. I have show and tell. I got to go through. I have so much more stuff. But I have to come through it. And you guys don't. Do you ever go on Facebook College Classic Football Classic?
Yep, I'm on there all the time.
Yeah, I post a trillion things on there. I just and. All because I have the Athlon annuals and all I used to get the whole all 10 of them, all 9 of them with the and I got pictures and I've been putting those up, you know, like that win I put up, man, that guy's got a 1200 views already. And ooh. Same thing with Javon Kearse, who actually was the two bits guy the other day.
I saw that him and Tim Tebow were out there.
He's still a big old, Tebow and him are huge.
That was almost another interception.
I know. This is what I'm DJ and I were watching the game, and they're like 5 seconds ahead of you. So that was nearly another pick.
I'll tell you what, Boston College may not win the ACC, of course, but they're putting on a good show tonight.
Who's the backup and when's he coming in? That's what we got to be talking about. Oh, that was just a straight drop. That wasn't on him. He hit the dude in the chest for the first thing.
Hate to be in that.
That was a first down throw. Hit him in the chest. That's when it's not going your way. It's not going your way, man. That one.
That was a good punt, though. I gotta say, that was a good punt.
But. Yeah, we're just gonna give them more yardage to work with.
All right. Well.
Oh well.
Make sure you follow us every Monday night.
Yeah, and you know that 11 a.m. kick for FSU is gonna be unfortunate, but
when's that?
I'm being sarcastic. But at this point, that an undefeated Miami team against like a 3-win FSU team does not feel like a prime time game. I feel like that.
Move that game till noon, I think.
Yeah, that's getting the feeling.
Be on Home and Garden TV if that this.
Yeah, it feels like it feels like it's trending towards a noon game. Unfortunately, they couldn't hold up their end of the deal, so.
We will be at the Rock.
All right.
And Vish and
Blue, right?
So.
Sure you'll be out there, right, Blue? On Saturday?
I'll be there.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll be there.
You're staying for the whole week?
Yep.
Is that your bed behind you? That's a big ass bed.
This is the guest room in my sister's place. This is the guest room. Yeah.
That's a nice guest room.
I was gonna say that bed's bigger than China. Look at
it. It's not that. I think it's just like a queen. It's not that big.
Maybe the TV makes it look bigger.
The angles.
Yeah. All about the angles, Blue. It's all about
I hear you. All right.
All right, fellas. We'll see you guys next
next week. Next week. I'm gonna go on a limb here and say
we didn't give a prediction.
Yeah, I'm just gonna throw it out there. I think the Canes will win. I know it's gonna be tough. You know,
when you 47-13.
47-13?
50-10.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to go shutout. 0 points.
Okay.
Wow. 2 seconds.
I'm going to go 45-3.
Okay.
Get that field goal in there.
An offensive consolation
field goal. I'm not saying anything. That's it. Well, I took it. You don't even know, Jazz, what bath I took this.
I can only imagine.
The cops were at the Columbus game the other night. They go, I heard you. We watched you on Monday night. Because you'll eat your words.
Good.
So, right? Are they going to roll out the red carpet for me, though? Then what happened?
I know, right? Keep doing it.
We have fans. That's what I'm most impressed
by. I'm not giving any more predictions. And I looked a fool. I let somebody like. I agree. Nice. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, maybe not even the Comedy Channel will take it. Yeah.
It might be a QVC.
Cartoon Network.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
See you next. Yeah,
be back next
you
week.
You're not coming in the press box, are you, Jazz?
No, that'll be in negatory.
Okay. Well, enjoy.
But you've got to come tailgate with us, Blue.
What time do you start? Four.
Four. we will be there at four, but we'll be there well before four is my
okay.
Guess. But yeah,
come on, get sauced up, baby. No. We're media. We can't be getting sauced up. We're gonna have a good
time. I have definitely been sauced up at games as media, but
I agree.
What kind of food did your sister make, Vish?
What did we? We grilled. Burgers, you know, basic stuff. Burgers, dogs. Right.
Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, we had Chick-fil-A nuggets. No, she got the flu.
Oh, okay.
So she did.
Shout out to Mel. Hope she's feeling better.
She is. I had lunch with her today, so she's
okay. Cool.
Back with the living.
Good. All right. Well, we'll see you on tomorrow.
Man, BC just broke off. The longer we stay on the air, the more stuff happens.
Oh, look at it! There it is. There it is. Go.
It'd be like 1 o'clock in the morning. We're still watching the game.
I know.
All adorable. I know is I loved Kelly last night. What a douche.
Oh, my God.
This has been a great, great weekend, man.
He's an embarrassment to Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah, he is. He's
especially since he fakes a Southern
accent. He may be on the line.
He's really a sellout.
Next year too.
I can't wait to see him on the chopping block.
They got more talent than probably anybody, and they freaking –
great opening to the season.
Shout out to Lincoln Riley. They're actually playing defense.
That's true. The USC is playing defense.
See you next week.
Everybody.
Bye. The Six Rig Kane Show. Yeah. The Six Rig Kane Show. Yeah. The Six Rings Kane Show. You know.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.